Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, here's the host of the top-rated show for moms, Maria Bailey, on Mom Talk Radio.
It's the middle of February already. How many of you guys got Valentine candy from your spouse, significant other, or someone you love, or someone that loves you? And you're thinking to myself, why are you sabotaging my New Year's resolution to eat healthy? Well, I've got to say, after 20 some odd years of marriage, my husband has finally picked up on my eating habits. And instead of chocolate this year, I got protein bars and Clif bars. So yay to my husband. It only took 20 years, but he finally noticed that I don't eat Russell Stover chocolate. So I hope that you had a delightful Valentine's Day. And as we get into Mom Talk Radio, I want to thank our sponsor, Mother Nurture. Speaking of good chocolate, if you are an expectant or new mom, go to madewithmothernurture.com, or better yet, go to Amazon and check out Mother Nurture. They have a whole line of flavored waters infused with DHA, folic acid, and they also have two flavors of chocolate truffles, which is just, they're amazing. They only have about 30 calories per truffle, and they have all the things that you and your baby need. It lets you indulge. And I have to tell you, you don't have to be pregnant to enjoy them, because with all that folic acid, it's really, really good for your hair. So check it out on Amazon, Mother Nurture products. You can also go to Amazon, CVS, and Target to find our other sponsor, Premama. Drinkpremama.com is their website, and it is everything that you and your baby need in the form of prenatal vitamins. They now have a lactation and a digestive and a fertility supplement, and you just mix it into your juice, water, whatever you're drinking, your smoothie, and it eliminates the need to have that big old horse pill that you're trying to swallow. You know, we are coming upon spring break, and I'm wondering if you have any spring break plans for this year. I actually am pretty excited. One of my kids asked me unexpectedly, "Hey, Mom, can we do a spring break trip together?" And when I said yes, he said, "Can we go to Cuba?" So we are off to Havana, Cuba, to do a little people-to-people learning, and that's one of the 12 boxes that you need to check, reasons for traveling to Cuba these days. And really excited. He's been doing all this research, and he calls me every day and tells me, you know, "Mom, I was just online and I learned this and this and this." And isn't that the best spring break and vacation opportunities, when your child can learn something when you're there? Anyways, very excited about that. I'll be talking and tweeting at Mom Talk Radio, not from the island because the internet doesn't work, but once I get back, I'll be tweeting a lot. So, speaking of coming back, when we return, we're going to be speaking with Kat Kronberg. She is debuting a new children's book, and she'll be here to talk all about it.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
I am always excited when somebody debuts something new and exciting, and they're excited about it. And this is one author that is just that. Kat Kronberg is debuting her children's book. She's an author living in Austin, Texas, one of my favorite places, and a member of the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators. Her hope and dream is that through reading, we can encourage one another to follow our bliss. And she's here to talk about her new book, Dream Big. So welcome, Kat, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk to you.
Well, I'm excited to hear about your new book, because it's not only a book, but it has interactive games and positive thinking discussion guides. So tell me a little bit about it.
Well, I mean, for me, it all kind of started really 10 years ago. I was at a symphony with my husband and literally closing my eyes, taking in the music, and it was like something whacked me over the head, divine inspiration. I'm not sure what I'd call it, but that I was meant to write a book about the power of a smile to empower us to live our best life and to create connection. So a lot of the book creates that, but then I also did a website with a fun and learn section that creates the connection that builds on the smile and some of the concepts within the book to really give parents time with their kids, teachers with their students, to create really a connecting environment for themselves, to themselves with their smile, and with each other and their dreams. So it's kind of a little bit of everything.
And so why did you home in on this idea of dreaming big?
Every time I went to write, it started with a smile, but the smile quickly came to be to smile big in who we are. It's really once we do that, it opens our life up to so much more. And then it became apparent that nature was supposed to be a part of it as well, that nature is such a teacher for us. And to look at a caterpillar, how in the world did it ever become a butterfly? I mean,
right.
It shows that anything is possible. You know, Walt Disney, Steve Jobs, I mean, you know, these nature has a way of kind of showing us anything can really happen. And so that's kind of how it all played off of each other. So dreams, nature, and it all really started with a smile, became the part that felt like was supposed to be written on the page.
So one of the things that you focus on is the big belly smiles. They're a big part of your message. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, as I have kind of rambled already, that it all started with a smile. And I think it was in the movie Eat, Pray, Love, there was a scene about, I think the guy was in India, you know, talked about smiling from your liver. And I thought, God, that's such an interesting concept, you know. And so that's really what the smile came to represent, something that comes all the way from deep within you through your chest and then kind of radiates from your face. When we really smile like that, it creates such a connection to something bigger, to ourselves, to each other. You know, it's contagious. Like there's even statistic psychology that you live 7 years longer from a smile. You know, just smiles to me have so much power, and to really kind of expose yourself and young kids to that, just to me, is really, I have grandbabies, it's really been fun to really watch and practice these concepts mm-hmm. together and get them to big belly smile.
You were saying that, and I was thinking to myself, how do you smile from your liver?
I know, that was my thought, but if you really kind of, you know, let yourself feel it from within, deep down. My belly works a little better than liver for me. That's why I kind of changed it. But the mm-hmm. concept, when he said it in the movie, kind of whacked me over the head again. You know, like, wow, what is that? What does that really mean?
It's such a great thought. Tell me a little bit about the other lessons that children can learn from nature and the power of possibilities. And I guess also, how does a parent execute on that?
Well, I mean, for me, kind of on a real-time example is, I think for parents, having gone through this, you know, it took me 10 years to get whacked over the head and actually have a book in my hand. So to take this concept even deeper is let your kids see you dream. I didn't have that really growing up, so I didn't know when I was younger to really have a dream, to set goals, to, you know, meet new people, have different aspirations around my dream, you know, that kind of engaged me in life more, made it a greater adventure. And to kind of go through the vulnerability of having this dream, failing, not getting it right, trying again, and going through it with my kids is really, really powerful. So my suggestion to parents is, you know, let your kids see you dream. Let them get in there with you. Help them encourage you. You know, when I'd fail, they'd get me back in there. And okay, mm-hmm. Mom, let's try it this way, right at middle grade. Now try it with people. You know, I mean, they yeah. were always in there with me, and it made it really fun. And then once I had a book, they got to see me triumph. And it encourages them to get in there. And it's not necessarily about succeeding or failing, but trying and encouraging right. each other. So that, to me, as a parent, is what I hope, and what the website does, too, is to get them in there together, creating dreams, you know, making goals. What can I? Who can I meet? What can I learn? You know, that kind of stuff is what right. I hope moms.
You know, I think that there's something to be accomplished, even in the short term, when you're trying to teach your children about dreams and such, because I remember when I wrote my very first book, I brought my kids into my office and I had big pieces of paper hung up and each one was a chapter and I had a, like an outline underneath it and stuff. And I remember, gosh, they must have been in probably the third or fourth grade, some of them. And I said to them, I'm like, okay, like, you know, when you write a paper, you know, you have to get organized and this is the way I'm getting organized. And I kind of walked them through the way I was going to do it. And yes, when the book finally came a year later and I showed it to them, yeah, they got the idea that, okay, mom had a dream and I use those words. But what I noticed is even before they could set their dreams, they picked up on some of the skills that are necessary for following your dreams, like getting organized and setting out the plan and all of those other things. So I think what you're saying really lays like some awesome foundations for the rest of their life.
Oh, I totally agree. The example is really a powerful tool. And what a great, you know, perfect example right there to see the outline and then actually see you with a book in your hand. You were moving towards an end, you know?
Yeah, it's and I do think that we're so, as moms, so just drowning in the everyday tasks that we forget that there's a to show our kids the bigger thing. It's not just about like, okay, today we got to get to soccer, but like, what's the bigger things that we're trying to accomplish? So that's why I just love your book. I want to remind everyone that they can find out more about you at your name at katcronenberg.com. We have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio in case you, you are trying to guess on how to spell Kat's name. It's with K's, K-A-T-K-R-O-N. But, And you can pick up her book at Amazon or anywhere where books are available, barnesandnoble.com and all of those. So thank you, Kat, so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. It's been really great. And when we return, we're going to go into the archives and bring back a mom who showed us what she's doing. And it's one of my favorites.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
So if you've ever thought about taking a cruise, we have one mom who is going to just give you a plethora of information on that. And this is actually a pretty good time to look into cruises because it's the off season. Her name is Dana Vento and she has three children. You can find her online at danavento.com. It's V-E-N-T-O is her last name. And I want to welcome her to Mom Talk Radio. Hi, Dana.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today.
Well, thank you for being here. So there are some people who have always wondered, what is it like to take a family on a cruise? And you have a lot of experience in that.
Yeah, we do. We love taking our family on a cruise because I think the hardest thing to do is to find something to make those teens, tweens, and kids smile. And when it comes to a vacation, everybody wants to be smiling. And the cruise will bring out the kid in everybody. So that's what we have found over the years.
So tell me a little bit about what they offer and the different age groups and just family time and maybe alone time for mom and dad.
Okay, so we look at travel as an education and we have to decide when we're going to take the kids out of school. So we look at their schedules and we say, wow, we've got some great time in January. There's a couple 3-day weekends. And then we look at all of the different cruise lines because all of the cruise lines out there offer different packages, 3-day, 5-day, 7. There's something for everybody. And you know where they're going? They're going somewhere tropical. We're getting out of the gloom and into the sun. And to me, that is so important because, again, that helps with that smiling factor. So we have to choose the destinations. And once we choose our destinations, all I keep thinking about is the once and done prophecy. And I'm sure you're familiar with that. The once unpacked, you're done, and it's a great feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
We unpack, and those kids are all set for the trip, and I never have to worry about that again. It becomes a calming factor to me to know that we know where everything is, and we're going to visit a few destinations, but we don't have to unpack. Our transportation and our fun is about to unfold on the cruise ship. And when we're on there, the cruise ship itself is just an amazing place to adventure through for the day, but it's great for couples and couple time. You're going to get one chance on that cruise ship to spend time with your partner. And there are multiple clubs on all of the different ships for all of the different age groups, such as the 18-month to 5-year-olds, the 6 to 11, the 12 to 18. They break them out and put them in their groups. And inside of those groups, there's activities, there's entertainment, there's eating, there's just time for the kids to bond. And what I really like, and my kids have experienced and come out with so many stories, is that they learn about others' lives, how they live, what it's like somewhere else. So they're interfacing, interacting, and you know what they're not doing is playing on their mobile phones and playing with social media. They're actually very focused. It's a great family time. As far as that goes, my husband and I get to spend a little bit of time together without the kids tugging on our legs, without the kids interrupting. We get to watch the moonlight on the ocean. We get to walk onto the decks. We get to enjoy a drink together. It's time away while we're still all together, and we know that those kids are safe.
Do you ever feel like you're just a hostage at sea? Like, that's my thing, is I'm just afraid of, like, I'm on a ship. Am I going to run out of things to do?
I don't think there is a possible way to run out of things to do unless you stay in your room and never get out of there. There is so much to do, from the entertainment to the shows to the offshore excursions. The ports of call where the offshore excursions occur are really fun. We have done the different Jeep excursions. We've done cave tubing, personal tours. We've done snorkeling. And we've been in multi-generational situations where we've had our 75-year-old father-in-law with us, and then, you know, as young as our 9-year-old or 10-year-old. So we've been all over the board with what activities we can and can't do, but you never run out, whether you're on the Lido deck dancing in one of the dance lines or you're in a buffet line. You meet people. You talk to people. It's just unending.
So let me ask you this. We only have a minute and a half left. How do you find the deals?
I take a look at all the different websites out there, but I actually just go right to the cruise lines themselves, because you'll find some of the best deals right there. And sometimes waiting at the last minute is the best way to snag them up.
That's what I've heard. Sometimes at the last minute, they have extra rooms that they just want to fill.
Right. So last minute can be really good.
I want to point everybody in the direction of your website, because I know you have lots of good information there. It's danavento.com, and we have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio as well. Very good stuff, and I hope that that you enjoy your next cruise. Quickly, where are you going on your next cruise?
Right now, we're looking at the Eastern Caribbean, so that's what we are currently planning to go to.
Wow, well, that sounds nice, warm, and very relaxing. So thank you so much for sharing some of your insight with us today on Mom Talk Radio, and have a great cruise with your children. And don't forget, we have a link to danavento.com on Mom Talk Radio. When we return, we're going to be speaking with the author of Creating a Beautiful Mess, 10 Essential Play Experiences for a Joyous Childhood.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
You know, life needs a CEO, and we have that person here on Mom Talk Radio. Hallie Bach is the founder and CEO of Life Incorporated, an organization that fosters mindful connections in all areas of life as the means to experience a full-hearted, fulfilling, and joyful life. She is the mother of two and is based out of Seattle, Washington. Boy, we couldn't be further away from each other, Hallie, but welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the magic of technology.
Yes, thank you, Maria. Thanks for having me.
So tell me about, like, where does one, I mean, that's a big job to help people find the means to experiencing a fulfilling life. I mean, that's a big job. How does anyone even think they can tackle that?
Yeah, it is a big job, and it definitely takes some courage. In the book, I use the visual analogy of a tree to really represent all the aspects of our lives that we need to be tending to on a regular basis in order to have the capacity to really, you know, experience life on our terms, you know, while impacting others in a positive way. So the foundation, the soil we rest in is our physical well-being, our inner life, sort of our spiritual well-being, along with our environment. Who are we around? Who's attached to us? Are they adding or detracting? Then we have our roots, which are inspiration, finding our why. Our expression are all the branches of our tree in which we can talk about play, our vocation, our avocations. We don't just have to lean one way and try to shove everything into one area. And then the leaves are our impact. Those are all the relationships that sit atop our tree. And we want to make sure that we're healthy there as well, you know, because we can be driving our life but be in permanent winter if we're not taking consideration into how we're impacting others.
So we have a whole bunch of moms at home and they're trying to get to soccer practice and mommy me class. And Lord knows, none of us know what we're cooking for dinner at 4 p.m. How do you apply all of that to, like, you know, so that our listeners aren't going, okay, that just is this Zen kind of thing that I can never relate to?
Yes, and ironically, I'm speaking with you from my car after having just worked out, squeezed that in after dropping my own kids off. And, you know, so I get it. Life is busy and it's unpredictable. So it's not to say, look, we can plan out life and have things go our way, because that's not realistic. Really, you know, the main thrust of my message is to be mindful, you know, really understand, why are you here? You know, what do you feel is your purpose? What turns you on? And it can be anything. Don't look down the block. Don't look at what anyone else is doing. You know, Susie down the road or anything, or should I be working or not? Go in, find what it is that drives you and connect with that on a daily basis and set intentions for each day. And if your life, you know, is like mine today, which is just chaos, is we can set an intention of at least how we would like to impact others as we go throughout our day. If there's things we want to accomplish, let's put those forward. And, you know, as always, us moms have to be reminded, we do need to find the time to put that oxygen mask on ourselves. So if it's me squeezing in a workout between, you know, two things, I need to do that. I'm a better mom. I'm a better person. And I'm happier overall when I tend to myself.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because I think as moms we forget, and everybody tells us, like, take care of mom before you take care of anyone else. But when it really boils down to, we, you know, it's like a diet, right? We all know what we're supposed to eat, but we don't really do it. And I think it's in the doing that we get caught up. And who wants to get up an extra hour every morning? I had 4 kids under the age of 3 at one point, and I remember saying to myself, if I get up any earlier, like one more hour, I mean, I'm sorry, if the clock says 3 on it, it's just not right to be getting up. You know, I mean, 4:55 is okay, but, you know, the first number's a 3. No, that's not right. So
yeah, that's obscene. Uh-huh.
Yeah, how do you, like, I... What do you tell yourself besides, I'm going to do it to be a better mom? I mean, is there any other motivation that you can find in that?
Well, you know, we have this one life, and we all need to be reminded of that on a regular basis. And so often, especially moms, you know, we are those ultimate caretakers, and we tend to put everything on our shoulders. You know, we can be the provider and the one that the kiddos come running to, or if there's something going on at school, we're the deferred one to figure things out and make things happen. And also, gee, we need to be the main connection between the school community and our family. And there's so much, and our tendency is to just pile everything on. And I have that same tendency. It's like, I've got a big back, big broad shoulders. I can do it. What we have to remember is that this life ends at some point. You know, this is our one opportunity. And the most common regret of those in hospice, in all the studies that have been done, is that people did not live the life that they wanted. They pleased mm-hmm. others, or they constantly, perpetually put others first. And I do not want us, especially as moms, to end up deposited there at the end of our life. So really, it's, you know, if you can't get in an hour workout because you've got three kids under three, then what is one thing that you can do each day to nurture yourself, right? To feed yourself. Is that, you know, taking a bath with mm-hmm. with salts and candles? Is it meditation? It can look differently, but you have to develop the habit of nurturing yourself. Otherwise, you will be off to the races taking care of everybody else, and that's a very dangerous habit to get into.
Right, right. So tell us, you just have a couple more minutes. Tell us how you work with people to help accomplish this.
Yeah, well, you know, we look at all those aspects that I spoke about, and certainly that foundation is key, especially looking at the relationships that we're attached to or that are attached to us. Again, saying no can be very powerful. And I don't know that we do that enough. Mm-hmm. So we can have people in our environment that are really just leeching energy from us. And if we could break away from some of those relationships, we would be much freer. So it's looking at, you know, what is the state of your mind? What are your thoughts about yourself? Are you hustling for your self-worth outside? Or are you able to generate that for yourself? Do you have some sort of movement going on, your environment, and then working ourselves up, right? What's right. Developing a personal mission statement, developing a personal manifesto, and then looking at how all, besides just being a mom and or a provider, can I make some time so that I'm living right. a full life?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all really good stuff and really good tools that you're providing. It's available at lifeincorporated.co, and Haley Bach is there to help you. Thank you so much for joining us today. And when we return, we have more Mom Talk coming your way with a very surprise guest that I can't wait to share with you.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret. Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
We are delighted to have with us today Frederick Lane. He's an author, an attorney, educational consultant, and a lecturer. He's based in New York, but he is also a nationally recognized expert in the areas of cyber safety, digital misconduct, privacy, and a lot more. And he's been on a ton of shows with Jon Stewart, NBC, CNN, all of them. You got him. Anyways, he is here. He's written 9 books, including his recent one, Cyber Traps for Educators and Cyber Traps for Expecting Moms and Dads. So welcome, Frederick, to Mom Talk Radio.
It's a pleasure, Maria. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you. So you've got some really good tips for expectant and new moms, keeping mobile devices as far from your reproductive organs as possible. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. As I was doing the research for this book, one of the things that surprised me is that there are still some legitimate questions about the impact that digital devices have on our health. And I did not write this with the intention of trying to scare anybody, but I mm-hmm. really was hoping that I could raise some issues that I think future parents should discuss with their healthcare providers. So there are definitely issues out there about the potential effects of cell phone radiation. There are certainly issues with respect to heat. And honestly, there's even the simple issue of the risk of dropping these devices on a newborn if people are not careful when they're taking photos and stuff like that. So as much as anything else, this entire book, Cyber Traps for Expecting Moms and Dads, is designed to run down a list of issues that I think parents should think about and discuss among themselves as they're going through this process.
One thing that a lot of moms do, posting their pictures of their pregnancy test on social media. Talk about that.
Well, sure. I mean, that is a remarkable phenomenon when you think about actually what the test involves. And people have different levels of comfort in terms of what private photos they put online. the issue that I think parents really need to think about is obviously, you know, what is their audience? What is their audience going to think about this? It may be that there are some family members who are made uncomfortable by that. It's the possibility that some relatives would like to hear by phone or in person. So there's that kind of etiquette or propriety issue. And then there's the other issue that once that information is posted, you lose control of it. So if you haven't told your workplace yet, there's the potential for some bad experience there as well. It's just, again, one of these things that people should think through before they actually do.
You know, I never really thought about that. And then, of course, there's always the texting and driving aspect of it.
Oh, yeah, the distracted driving, actually distracted walking was one of the things that I talked about in this book. I mean, yes, mm-hmm. we've got national campaigns to tell people it can wait in terms of driving and using a cell phone. But I was startled by the sheer number of people who get injured because they're not paying attention to where they're going when they're walking. And as you said, I live in Brooklyn and, you know, get in and out of Manhattan quite a bit. People are constantly bumping into me because they're staring down at their phones instead of looking at where they're going. So that's one piece of it. You actually could push your child into some kind of injury if you're not careful about what you're doing. But another issue that I raised in this book that I think parents should think about is that we don't want to have a generation of kids who grow up not looking at their parents' face, but instead staring at the back of a phone or the back of an iPad. When the weather's a little warmer than it is now, I'll sit outside and you see parents walking up and down the street with their kids in strollers and they're staring at their phones instead of interacting mm-hmm. with their kids. And I think that that actually has the potential to cause some long-term issues in terms of the bonding or connection between the parent and child.
I actually read a statistic where, you know, looking down and walking, especially in New York City, just overall is causing so many fatalities of people who just walk right out in front of a car and they don't realize it because they're texting and walking at the same time. And we'd think it'll never happen to us, but, you know, unfortunately, I knew a mom who did that right in front of the Javits Center last year and walked right into a dump truck, you know, and within a minute she was gone, you know, because she was walking and looking down at the same time.
Yeah, that's 10th or 11th Avenue.
Right.
That's insane.
Right, right. So we just have another minute. Can you let everyone know, like, where they can find you and where they can find the book?
The easiest way to find me is to go to my website, which is frederiklane.com, frederiklane.com. And then they can also find all of my books on Amazon.com. They're all available in both Kindle and in physical form.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and spending some of your time with us. When we return, we're going into the archives to pull out one of my favorite segments.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
So, as promised, we're going to move from 4 million teenagers to 30 million words. That's the name of the book, 30 Million Words, Building a Child's Brain. And the author is Dr. Dana Suskin. She is the founder and director of the 30 Million Words Initiative at the University of Chicago. She has worked in this field for many years in a lot of different ways, and I'm going to jump right in and welcome Dr. Suskin to Mom Talk Radio. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So is it are we able to increase our child's brain power when they're little?
Absolutely. I think that many people don't realize that, unlike all of our other organs, our brains come out really pretty underdeveloped. And in the first 3 years of life, it's actually parent talk, the power of parent talk, that builds a child's brain. In fact, 85% of your brain is fully formed, or the physical part, by the end of the age of three.
Wow. And so what do we do to maximize our brain, and what does moms need to do when they bring home that baby?
Absolutely. Moms have all the power, and we, in their talk, and we actually call it the three T's. The three T's are the way to build your baby's brain. Tune in, talk more, and take turns. Tune in to what your baby's interested in from day one. He may not have real words, but he's telling or she's telling you a lot by grimaces, by looks, by gestures. Then talk about it. Use rich language. Talk about the past and the present. And then take turns. Believe it or not, you can have a conversation with your baby from day one. They are getting ready to have a conversation. They may not be able to use real words, but start now to build your baby's brain.
Why is the third grade? You talk about third grade being significant. I know for a mom, it's when homework starts, but why is it significant in your eyes?
Well, third grade, you know, everything is building up, you know, your child's ability. And people often look at third grade as the time when you go from learning to read to reading to learn. So you're trying to learn how to read initially, but then what, you've got to get it down so you can learn about all the content that you need. But really, people don't realize that learning to read starts from day one. It's your language ability and the brain power that really gets your child ready to learn how to read. So I really emphasize the importance of talk, even connected to reading.
And what about play? We hear a lot about structured play is good, free play is better. What about play when it comes to our children?
Well, play is one of the most powerful ways to get, you know, have bonding and get language in, from my perspective. So people always want to separate, oh, this is, you know, cognitive learning time, this is play time. Really, when you're in a 0 to 3 space, they're one and the same. And, you know, rich play is probably the best brain building time, an opportunity to use your three T's with your baby or your child.
Okay, so the all-important question, iPads have become kind of a standard.
Yeah.
And I guess yesterday I was saying they've replaced the crayons at the table. Now moms just hand their child an iPad. Good, bad, what's the feeling there?
That is that's so funny. Well, I always joke, you know, we have the three T's. I always say the fourth T should be turning off the technology. But, you know, because the truth is that babies don't learn language from television. Now, at the same time, technology is here to stay. So we need to find a way to live with it while understanding what builds children's brains. And even more important than trying to get your child to turn off his or her own iPad is getting yourself to turn off your own technology. And listen, trust me, I'm not one to talk. I know it's an important thing, and sometimes I don't take my own advice. But just understanding what builds babies' brains helps us to understand why we need to limit our technology a bit.
So I know you have a lot more to talk about. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But do you have a website that folks can go to learn more about your expertise and how to build that brain?
Absolutely. It's 30millionwords.org. And you spell out 30, so T-H-I-R-T-Y, 30millionwords.org.
Right.
Check it out. But know that that every mom has the power to build their child's brain.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. And I want to thank all of you for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. We hope you've taken away something that you can implement in your daily life as we head back to school and into the busy season of fall. I'm Maria Bailey. Can't wait to talk to you again next week right here on Mom Talk Radio.